The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. Happy Thanksgiving and happy Brady Quinn football show. Bow, bow, bow. I'm not at my parents' because traffic was too bad. I didn't want to be late for the podcast.
Yeah.
Pack up all the stuff, drive along. It's like 2.5 hours to get to High Point from here. It's ridiculous. But you know who is at his parents' house?
I'm at my mom's. Yeah, my mom's right now. So
Brady, I just realized I don't know your full name. I was going to say your full name. It's got to have a 4 in it, though.
No.
Nathaniel Bradyopoulos Quinn the 4th. Is that?
No, I'm not even a junior. So.
Oh, that's sad.
Braden Quinn. That's it.
And wait, you don't have a middle name?
Tyler.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I actually know I have a buddy of mine who doesn't have a middle name. It's kind of crazy. And he's a 4th, too.
That's weird. That's just lazy.
His younger brother has 5 names. And his older brother is named Angus. Chew on that.
That's pretty sweet. I mean, it's also good beef, but yeah.
Yeah, it is. Like, just like Kobe, RIP Kobe. I don't know. There's no telling where this episode could go.
Yeah.
I know where we'll start. Okay, look, I think that where you are sitting at your mother's house, I'm not fascinated by it. You are wearing a Notre Dame quarter zip. You got some nice glasses on. You look happy as hell to be at your mom's house. You look happy,
Brady. This is the first time. I was telling Billy this before the show started. This is the first time I've actually got to celebrate a Thanksgiving with my family, and I can't remember it's been so long.
Since like high school, right?
Well, even high school, like we played the state playoffs in my junior year. So you're missing it then because you're preparing for the state championship game. College, obviously, we're always in the West Coast, either at USC or Stanford or Notre Dame. I got in the NFL, you're always still playing. You're still in the middle of the regular season. And then once I got into broadcasting, like I was out calling a lot of times the Apple Cup, Washington State, which is usually on Fridays. So I'd have to travel out Wednesday or Thursday on Thanksgiving.
It's actually a highlight of my Friday evening every Thanksgiving is getting to hear you call it. And then I could text you.
Dude, I love that rivalry. It is one of the low-key best rivalries. They always play each other tough for the most part. It's weird and wacky
and West Coasty.
Kind of, but like, and by the way, Seattle, like Washington Stadium, Husky Stadium, it's the best venue to call a game you've been to. It's so majestic how pretty it is. So that it's good football. But by the way, it's like chippy. Like back when Leach was there, I was calling games and Jimmy Lake was defensive coordinator. He would like talk trash post game and he'd be like, well, he's like, another dub. Like, what do you expect?
Oh, I remember that game. Yeah.
Like, they don't change what they do. We just keep dropping it in the covers. They keep throwing us the football. He's like, what do you expect every year? Like, I was sitting there listening, like, oh my God, he's literally going off on Mike Leach, the entire like air raid system and all this. It's amazing.
So if you're not watching this on YouTube and youtube.com/pick6, you can go and watch it. But I'm just saying that your setup, It just looks like so there's a Browns helmet behind you. There's a picture of you throwing a football, like a big picture of you, like a, you know, there's a, and you didn't win the Heisman. Did you win the Heisman?
No, I won the Maxwell, which is like another Player of the Year award.
Right, right, but that's what's behind you is your Maxwell Award trophy, right?
Yeah, that one's there. Excuse me. There's a Johnny Unitas somewhere back there. Some helmets and stuff. Right,
like,
yeah.
But it's like, I mean, I was kind of messing with you, but like, it is really, really cool. Like, it looks like
this entire room is decorated with some Notre Dame stuff, some like football stuff. It's really like a
shrine.
No, it's not to me. It's like all of our family athletics. So like my little sister, her soccer stuff is up. My brother-in-law is Jack Johnson and AJ Hawk. They have some stuff up. And then you've got like some of my family, like dating back to the 50s, like where my grandfather, where he played high school, some high school photos. Yeah, it's a really cool room, but it's like all – it's kind of all of our family sports. It's
so I had the right read on the room, but the shrine joke just didn't land.
Yeah, the shrine joke didn't really hit. No.
Yeah. See, unfortunately for us, actually all the athletes in my family sort of petered out about two generations ago. My grandfather is a really good golfer and football player. And his brother is actually in the Davidson Sports Hall of Fame. But
wow. Okay.
After that, really sort of goes downhill until the boulder ends up being a little tiny pebble at the bottom of the hill, and then it's me.
Okay. Well, so at least you're there. You know, you're there. You're present.
But we do have my mom has sort of a same room that you've got right there. It's mostly like third place swim meet ribbons, and then I think like there's like a duck I shot once.
This there is you go.
Yeah. I wish I was
all in chess player. Yeah.
I'm really more
that's Billy's giving you too much credit there. Like you're smarter than that. Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. I'm kidding though. No.
It's a great checkers player.
But I like the whole vibe of that room. And I think you look happy to be there, and you're gonna have a wonderful Thanksgiving with your family.
Thank you.
So that's the show. Thanks very much for coming. Well I'm just kidding. Zach Wilson benched.
This is surprising to me. Is this not surprising to you?
It is surprising to me. Okay, let me ask you this. Wilson and Breach and I think Sully too have been kind of banging the table to bench Zach Wilson for the last few weeks. And my whole thing is like, look, he's in his second year. He's you have to give him the reps to find out if he's the guy. He's 5-2. He hadn't played great, of course, but the two ugly losses are against the Patriots and Bill Belichick. What percentage of the benching do you think is related to his very tone deaf comment, the no after the game on Sunday?
For starters, we need to like check ourselves with a win loss record. Okay, they're 5-2 in large part not because of anything he's done. Okay, sure. That's the reality. So if you want to be like, the two losses of the Patriots, that's just doing it. It's like, hold on a second, he hasn't played well. Like he has not looked good at all this season. He's been bad. No matter what metric statistic you go to, he's not played well. So that's – I forget the win-loss record. Like all the Jets fans and the Joe Schmoes who point that out, I'm like, you're missing it then because they've been led by their defense, their ground game, and they've played in their 10 games. For those 10 games, they played a backup. So go back through those wins and look at who they've beat, where a backup started or a backup has played. Pittsburgh, for example, would be one of them. And I know they've got some good wins. Like you say, they beat Josh Allen. They beat Aaron Rodgers. That's right. You can't refute that, take that away. But there's also the reality of the fact that those two teams played awful in that particular game. And there's some other things that happen in those games where you're going, that usually doesn't happen.
The 20-year thing with the Browns and Joe Flacco? I mean, come on.
Right. So my whole thing is I'm more surprised by the fact that he got benched in part because you could say it's, he upset the locker room with his comments, not taking the more responsibility and accountability. But to your point, he's 23 years old. He's in his second year playing. Now this is like doubling down on a mistake. To sit there and look at how he handled the media after the game, that's a moment where you address it with the team. You have him address the team and say, hey, look, that's all. This is on me. Like I've created a distraction. I should have been more accountable and responsible for how poorly I'm playing. It's on me. I'm a young player in this league. I'm still growing as a player, as a person. Like, know that, like, you're not going to get that again from me. I'm going to be more accountable for how I play moving forward. I mean, that's the reality of it. Like, I played a lot of bad football at the NFL. I never once tried to point fingers at anyone else. I always took accountability for it. And that's part of being a leader. And the hard thing is if you can't take the good with the bad, you're probably not going to be in that position very long. And because eventually you're going to have to take those lumps, you have to battle through adversity. I think they're pulling the rug from out underneath him way too soon. They need to let him play the rest of the season. I don't know what will happen after this week if Mike White wins and plays well. I mean, he should be looking at his chops playing against the Bears defense. I mean, they're actually decent.
That's the other pass thing
defense.
Too,
they're man. Bad running. They're bad stopping the run. So they should be able to have success this week.
And again, like I understand if Robert Saleh met with his defensive players, and this is my assumption, and it could be wrong, but I feel like what happened is he met with those defensive captains or the key leaders in the defensive side of the room, or maybe just the captains and whoever it is, and everybody was sort of like, yeah, the vibe's not real great right now on it. And so he decided to go with Mike White and to sort of end the distraction there. I don't like the fact that this team just played the Patriots twice and the Bills and the Broncos the week before that. So you have four games, the Broncos, the Patriots, the Bills, and the Patriots. Those are three of the top 10 easily defenses in the league and probably top five based on which metric you want to look at. And then you yank him out of there and you put Mike White in against the Bears, who are a terrible defense. Like, I think that's it's sort of like when you fire Frank Reich and then you got the Raiders on deck. Like,
well, it's not even that. So you fire Frank Reich and then you put Matt Ryan back in, who gives you the best chance to win. Exactly.
I think it's misguided in the sense that they're setting it up where I don't think he's doing this intentionally.
It leads me to think that this has been weighing on the shoulders of guys for a while.
Mm.
Like that's what this decision means to me, is they've seen some immaturities from him. They haven't seen the growth from him that they'd like to see. And there's some players that feel like he's rubbing the wrong way, as far as how he's conducting himself, probably even before the season. Like, I had said this back and we were initially started talking about the Jets and they started having some success. And the whole MILF thing, like, oh, cool, he's hooking up with, like, players' moms or Jets fans' moms. Okay,
it was,
cool.
It was his mom's friend, I think, but
whatever. Yeah, Jets fans' moms, whatever. It's all the same. Yeah, someone's mom. But the reality is, like, that's all cool and fun, and it's, like, great to joke about. And then the second you start not playing well, not having success, now they use it against you. And it's one of those things where, like, it was cool, it was fun to talk about, and now it's just another thing you make fun of in regards to the Jets quarterback.
We talked about this in the offseason. It was like, I remember, I don't know if it was with you. I mean, I know we talked. I'm sure we talked about that. Just because, that's something you and I would talk about. But, like, I definitely remember talking. I think it was maybe Sully, and it was sort of like, it's like, this is hilarious, but if he's playing poorly, it will 100% be used against him. And that's just the nature of the business. And it's unfortunate. And I don't know.
Here's the thing that bothers me the most, though, is like when you hear the comments of Booger McFarland. I know you and I had a text conversation about all this, so you can kind of set it up and we can kind of go from there.
Well, I mean, Booger McFarland came out and basically said that Zach Wilson can't be accountable because he comes from a well-to-do family with money, which is Steve Young tried to call it outrageous and Booger kind of walked him down, like put him back in the.
Well, first off, like, hold on.
It's an outrageous statement.
It's outrageous for the fact of the hypocrisy. Like, so Booger McFarland didn't make any money or gets paid seven figures his kids aren't growing up in a privileged lifestyle. Like, I don't know how you can say that and get away with it. Although I do find it entertaining. In part because, like, I remember when Matt Stafford was drafted, and he was drafted, number two overall, I believe.
He was first overall in
09. First overall. Yeah. You know what people just thought? They're like, well, you don't have to worry about him blowing the money because he comes from a lot of money. So it's not – I was like, okay, for starters. Why are we talking about this?
First of all, I know so many rich people who have blown through so much money.
But even the fact that someone would say that, like I guess, because then you can use the exact same argument and go, so what do you expect when someone doesn't have money and they get a bunch of money? You expect them to blow through it too? Like, I just, the entire argument is so stupid, and it varies depending on the individual and so many other things outside of like how they grew up, but probably more so just the hypocrisy of it. Like, Booger McFarland's kids haven't grown up in a wealthy environment because he made money. He was a successful football player and has been a successful broadcaster. Like, that's where I was like, wait a second. What? Like, what's he saying right now?
Yeah. By the way, just really quickly on this, did you, I didn't remember this. I don't know if you did. Do you remember the beef that Phil Sims and Steve Young had back in 2005?
No, I was in college then. So
I was, not remember this. Me too. unexpectedly still in college, but in college.
It was a victory lap.
Yeah, second victory lap. Steve Young was on Monday night. He was on Sunday NFL Countdown on ESPN and questioned basically Chris Sims' toughness. He's like, his dad was one of the greatest at being tough and handling all the, this is like, again, like 17 years ago, but it's amazing. I worry that he grew up in a much different atmosphere, laissez-faire kind of atmosphere. And I worry they didn't have the mental toughness to deal with the information overload that comes with the NFL. Until I see that week after week, like last week, I'm still not a believer. So Phil, our colleague, Phil Sims, who I think is like one of the most underrated, hilarious guys on the planet, is doing a media thing before the Thanksgiving game. And he said, you know, Steve, follow football more than one day a week and you might know some of these answers. And then proceeded to go, that's fantasy football talk. There's one thing I know my son doesn't lack is toughness. He didn't grow up in a laissez-faire atmosphere. Far from it. Come to my house, live with me, and let's see how laissez-faire it is. I don't know how Steve Young lives his life, but I don't live mine that way, and I don't raise my kids that way. You can say whatever you want about my son, but one thing that'll get me mad, and I'll stand in your face about it, is about toughness. Who the hell can be tougher than him physically or what he endures? And then the article ends. Young said he called Phil Sims and left a message. I'd let Phil Sims raise my own kid, Young said. It's like basically.
Didn't Chris Sims play through like a ruptured
spleen?
A spleen, yeah. I was like, yeah. By the way, so I spent half a season with Matt Sims, which is, you know, one of Phil's children, one of Chris's younger brother. Kid's tough, hardworking, never complained about anything. Just like it was there early, stayed late. Like I love that kid. Like I honestly, like to this day, like he, you know, him and Chris both, like. Far from whatever, you know, people think.
That's the stereotype.
But to that point, though, like we don't say that about Arch Manning, right? Just because he grows up within the Manning family, like we actually look at it as a plus.
Or Peyton Eli. Like,
yeah. Like because they grew up under Archie. Like we look at that as, oh, no, they're going to have the great tutelage and all that. So it was one of the dumbest things I've heard on air. And that's saying something because Booger was on Monday Night Football and he said a lot of dumb stuff during that period of time. So I don't know why he took that shot. I do understand why Steve Young defended him too. I mean, in part, he's a BYU kid. You know, he probably knows through those connections and wanted to defend him, but kind of rightfully so. I just thought it had nothing. And by the way, the interesting thing was Booger like came out on Ross Tucker's podcast and like defended himself as an analyst and all this stuff and how he's got to analyze this. That's like, okay, well, you just contradicted what you just said. Because as an analyst, you're supposed to be analyzing what's on the field. Right. Last time I checked, you don't have like a doctorate or you're not a doctor in understanding like the
sociology.
Sociology of like relationship or the parenting or anything else that goes along with that. Yet you want to analyze that. So it's just, it was a bizarre deal.
Like for instance, like, I mean, I'm not going to say that like I had like a hard upbringing or anything like that, but my dad is a tough MF-er, man. Like my dad, Bob Brinson, don't take crap. He doesn't take crap from anybody and you don't cross him. Like when you're one of his kids, like, I mean, you don't want to do it. And I would guess that Chopper Quinn kind of similar. Like he's not like, he's a loving father. And he provided well for you, but if you messed up and you did something, like, it's not like we're not like prancing around. Like, I know everybody, it's like, oh, Brinson prancing around with the oysters. I think it's just unfair to stereotype somebody coming from an environment just because, like we don't know what Zach Wilson's life was growing up.
Yeah. No, there's not much to be said about it. I'm surprised. The interesting thing is like no one at ESPN was like, hey, Booger, maybe you shouldn't have said that, huh? Like maybe punt the brakes on all
RG3's
that.
RG3 was like.
No, RG3's face kind of said it all. I was like, okay. Like, is this really happening right now? So yeah. Good for him, by the way, of not hiding it. There's times when I sit on the desk and I'm just like, But there's times when you want to be like, and that was a moment where I was glad he kind of displayed his emotion back because you could tell you. You know, he didn't agree to go along with it.
You can get gift pretty quickly if you're like.
Yeah, that's the other thing, especially in today's. You got to be careful about that.
Anyway, ranting about poor Zach Wilson.
What's up with everyone wanting OBJ?
It's kind of weird, right?
Yeah, like, I mean, if you go back to last season, what was he averaging, like 3 or 4 catches a game?
People thought it was kind of a dumb trade at first for a while.
Right. But I'm just saying, like, I guess if you're the Cowboys, because they've been the most vocal about it. I mean, their Twitter accounts like tweeting at him and saying balls in his court. And you're looking at it going, okay, but like, what's he going to bring to the table? is he going to be? He's not going to be better than CeeDee Lamb. So at best, he'll be like a number two receiver option, and maybe ahead of Michael Gallup. But I look at it and I just kind of go, he's not going to play special teams. Here, so he's going to take up a roster spot there.
Here's what he averaged in his 8 regular season games with the Rams last year after being traded from Cleveland in week 10. 3.4 catches, 38.1 yards per game. He actually had 5 touchdowns, so it was kind of crazy. But like he'll help, but he's not going to like take this team to the top.
And by the way, if you look at their roster, the construct of the roster, they only have like 5 receivers. One of them is Turpin. He's going to be a returner for you. You've got obviously CeeDee Lamb and then Michael Gallup, your starters, and Noah Brown, who plays well and also plays special teams. And then the fourth, the number 4 guy, he's slipping my mind right now. But the whole point is, like, where's he going to fit in there? Like, if he's coming on active. Yeah, there you go. Jalen Tolbert, their draft pick this year from South Alabama, which, again, special teams player and all that. If he's going to enter the roster, like, he's just coming there for, what, 3 catches a game? 30 yards? I mean, it just seems like it's a lot. And I don't know what you're looking at to compensate him. I mean, he's getting up there in age. What is he, 30 now? 29, somewhere there?
I got it right here. Hold on. He is 30. He actually just turned 30 18 days ago.
There you go. So, you know, you probably guess his best days are behind him. And, you know, outside of bringing a guy who's capable at times of making the clutch play and doing all that, I kind of look at it and go, I don't know where this is going to go. But it's weird that Dallas is so dead set with the mojo they've got going right now, beating the crap out of Minnesota. They'd want to try to add something to the mix. I don't think they need it.
Where would you slot Dallas and San Francisco? Oh, man.
Right after Philly.
So you wouldn't put either ahead of Philly, right?
Not yet. I think Philly deserves respect for what they've accomplished so far this year. And especially like Sue and Linval Joseph just got there along with Robert Quinn. Let's see how that kind of works out.
Yeah.
I mean, they did hold Indy to less than 100 yards, I think, rushing this past week. So if their rush defense improves the way it probably should with those two guys, then yeah, I think you look at them a little different, still at top of that conference. I mean, but I put them both ahead of Minnesota, who still has a good record.
Yeah, no doubt. When you look, I was just making this argument, not an argument, but just sort of making this point earlier. I can't remember what day it was, maybe Monday, Tuesday. I hate the Thanksgiving week schedule. I love Thanksgiving, hate the schedule. I think, man, you can make the case that like 6, maybe 7, if you really wanted to reach teams in the NFC, could get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's fair. I think there's a lot of teams that are, and the crazy thing is, like, outside of Tampa, who I think is probably one of those teams for you, because they play in such a bad division, which probably helps their case. But you're not including Green Bay in that.
Nope.
You're including Tampa in that, which they haven't been great. If they're in a different division, probably not the same outcome. But sure. I would assume you're saying San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously Philly, probably Minnesota, Dallas. Who after that? Because those are 4.
Yeah, you got 5. The one that you could add maybe like Seattle. I mean, it's just so wide open. Like if Seattle beat Philly, I mean, that wouldn't be that crazy. Like, I mean, it could just, you know, I think it's so different from the AFC where I just have a hard time seeing anybody but Kansas City or Buffalo getting through right now. Don't get me wrong, it could happen, of course. Like the Patriots and the Ravens and the Titans, the Dolphins. I mean, like I think you make the case that like any of like take 12 teams and any Super Bowl matchup that you pick from those 12 teams wouldn't be that insane if it actually ended up happening.
Yeah, no, it would be. I mean, I think the hard thing in predicting right now is like who is that 7th team that makes it as a wild card team? Because I think you look at Dallas and Philly in the East, there's 2, whoever ends up winning the division, all that. Seattle, San Francisco in the West, you know, there's 4 teams right there. Tampa in the South, Minnesota in the North, that's 6. Who's the 7th? Like, that's what I think is up for grabs right now.
I think the Giants, and you can go read it on CBSSports.com. Tyler Sullivan wrote about this, but like the injuries and just sort of the fact they've been not skating by on like magic, but like Brian Daboll's done such a great job of coaching them up. And, you know, Daniel Jones has been not making mistakes, but what if he started to make them last week? It just feels like maybe that's a pumpkin Cinderella situation.
They're definitely one. You kind of worry down the stretch. They start playing divisional games, right? You're a 10-point underdog to Dallas on Thanksgiving. You're not expected to win that game, so we'll see what happens. But, like, the Washington Commanders are an interesting team to kind of find their way, like, into it in that 7th spot. I believe if the playoffs started today, would they be in?
No, they're the 8 seed. It would be
the 8. Okay.
But they're right there. Seattle, if the playoffs were today, it'd be Seattle at Minnesota, the Giants at San Francisco, and Dallas at Tampa Bay, which is, I mean, if you're Dallas, you're like, are you effing kidding me? Like, really?
Yeah.
Like, that's the draw we got. I think Washington is really intriguing. Detroit
Chase Young hasn't had any impact because he hasn't been back yet. Yep. And imagine if he lines up on that defense, he can have the impact they're hoping he's going to have. Now, the only problem is you look at that team, and I think most people look and say, you're kind of have a ceiling offensively. Like, you need your defense to can sustain at a high level in order to be able to get there. But
All right, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we will discuss whether or not Big Turkey has infiltrated this country and for how long it's happened. Next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
So, let's see, look, did we have fun on this podcast?
Yeah, thanks, of course. So let me ask you this, because this is what a buddy said to me, okay? He goes, I'm more of a ham guy on Thanksgiving. And I literally looked at him, I go, I didn't think that was even possible. Like, I didn't think that was an option on Thanksgiving. It's usually turkey, and then you can save ham for something else. But he's like, no, I like ham. I feel like it's a little more consistent than that. That's what I can do. I think I don't want to be friends with him anymore. Now because
really? Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, my family does not eat. Actually, we have turkey. I guess we have turkey inside. I do oysters on Thanksgiving.
I don't even know what to say right now.
I know.
So, I think Booger McFarlane would have some things to say to you right now. If
I know. He would. Yeah, he would say that I have no accountability, I'm sure. So we used to go down to Jacksonville, Florida for my mom's family's. And there would be a huge potluck style thing where like 100 people would bring dishes. We had, I mean, like turkey, you know, like everything, like the full spread. So I'm fine with turkey. I don't think that like the pilgrims are cooking turkeys though.
Turkey is one of the first things I ever shot when I went hunting. It was a wild turkey. I'll never forget the way that thing like literally blew up in a bunch of feathers. And I was like, all right, I guess I'll leave it there and see if anything else comes after to get it. But
no, so all right, so ham is big here too, though. In fact, down on Six Forks Road, which is right down here, there's a there's a honey baked ham.
I'm talking about Six Forks. Who doesn't know Six Forks?
Right, it's just north of North Hills, naturally. So
your high point
during this is in Raleigh during Thanksgiving and Christmas, the week of Thanksgiving, the week of Christmas, they have to put a sign up like a Department of Transportation giant sign that says ham pickup, no left turn allowed. because so many people are going in to the Honey Baked Ham to get their friggin' hams that it clogs up traffic because everybody tries to take a left turn and it completely blocks the road down and locks it into complete gridlock.
And this is when?
This is like right now. I passed it like yesterday.
It's crazy to me though. Like I'm just not like a Thanksgiving ham guy. It's got to be turkey. Like I'm sorry, if it's not turkey, there's something wrong.
So I think maybe the argument for the ham is to your pals, whoever said it, the consistency is interesting because like turkey, I mean, dude, you can screw up a turkey. Like you can,
yes, you can.
You can overcook a turkey pretty quick. Yes, I'm a big fan of the deep fry. We deep fried a turkey at a tailgate the other day. Because we were playing. Oh, Virginia Tech.
Yeah. So
we got to sacrifice a turkey to the football gods.
It's a couple weeks ago, right?
Yeah, because the Hokies. I actually convinced a lot of people that we were deep frying a live turkey, which is insane because one, they have like feathers. Two, that's sadistic. And then three, like they have innards. Like it has to be all cleaned and everything. Like it's not.
Wait, I was just going to say, and plus like as soon as it dies, it's going to exit its bowels. You have crap in that deep fryer.
It would be the most disgusting, foul smelling thing on the planet.
Without a doubt.
But like this goes back to my point about the pilgrims. I mean, man, cooking a turkey is a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. Yeah.
Sure, what a quail.
But they had a lot more time on their hands. They didn't have, you know, YouTube. They didn't have apps and cell phones and stuff. So they probably didn't look at it. It was just part of their life. They're like, hey, we got to make a turkey today. It's that day, you know?
Have you ever been to a molasses stewing?
No, I have no idea why.
I have. Cell phone's not allowed.
Okay.
You sit around and let the molasses stew.
Okay. Favorite side dish. You got to give me one.
I mean, if I say stuffing, you're going to be annoyed.
No, it counts.
I would say that like I get like amped up about some green bean casserole.
Green bean any casserole is legit. Cream corn casserole, sweet bean casserole, sweet potato mash. You do sweet potato mash right.
Love a sweet
that mash. To me is the best.
Do you put brown sugar on top?
Got to. I mean, how can you not?
Have to.
Okay. Just okay. And then last question before we move on. Pie. What's the best Thanksgiving pie?
I mean, it's obviously pumpkin pie.
Okay, thank you. All right, I would do pecan, though, too. I think that's acceptable.
Pecan is fine. See, apple. Really saying apple, that's fine, too.
I'm not a big, like, baked fruit guy. Like,
yeah.
I'll do blueberry. That's about it.
I'll do a chocolate, like a sort of, like, same consistency as the pumpkin pie, like a chocolate mousse pie, whatever it is. That's fine, too.
Okay, yeah.
But, yeah, my grandmother, rest in peace, Josh, used to make delicious pumpkin pie and the best freaking chocolate chip. No, Susan actually made the chocolate chip cookies and brought them down there. But like, that would be, yeah.
They're really fond memories of those.
Oh, yeah. We would always drive down to Jacksonville. I was telling Sully this. Like, we would drive down, like, one of my favorite things. We would drive down to Jacksonville on like Wednesday morning. I mean, you're out the door at 5 a.m. Bob Brinson, it's 5:15, buddy. You're climbing the car in your PJs and you're wearing your PJs the whole way down to Jacksonville. Tough crap, pal. Like I said, drive down to Jacksonville, get down there, go to this big family thing on Thursday, come back, and then everyone would be like, we're going to go see a movie. And me and my grandfather would be like, no, we're going to watch football. And we would just sit there. He would sit in his chair, and I would sit on the couch, and we would start watching like football. I mean, I remember there when like Dominican Sue stomped Josh Sitton's face.
Yeah, or whatever it was.
But like we would get there for the end of the early game. And then we'd both be asleep by like the end of the first quarter of the second game. It's just, I just have a fond memory of sitting in that living room.
All right, let's get to it then. Cause we got three matchups Thursday for Thanksgiving. Bills, Lions, Giants, Cowboys, Patriots, Vikings. We're not going to break them down too much. I just want to ask you this. I feel like each game you can make the case which team needs it more. So I'll ask you this, which team of those three games needs it more in each of those games?
You're asking me of each of the three who needs
more? Yeah, like for example, I would make the case that Lions are on a three-game win streak. They're playing really well right now. I don't think you'd want to lose momentum. You're playing at home, right?
The Bills need it more.
Like I would make the case too. The Bills need it more for the way they played and looked. Like I don't even think they need to just win. I think they need to like win and cover and like remind people of how good they can be. So that's how I'd look at that one. But I also think you could make the case like if you're Dan Campbell and you're trying to like set a precedent or tone, like you're 4-6 right now. I also think if you're trying to convince ownership, like, hey, like what I'm building is for real. You knock off a team like the Bills at home who hasn't been playing great
on Thanksgiving.
on Thanksgiving, like, and no one's going to forget that. Like, people are going to question Buffalo the rest of the year, but no one's going to forget that. That might be like your job security for at least to next year. Like, there's no doubts you're staying.
I think he's almost like there already with the 3-game win streak, just because it's been since 2017.
But like, what happens if you lose out?
Of course.
4-13 record sounds a lot different when you're sitting there at 4-6.
Especially when you lose like 7 games in a row. It's not great. I think if you knock off the Bills here, one, you're like, look, the culture's working. The defense is coming together. We did it.
Jamal Williams, like leading the league in rushing touchdowns.
Yeah.
How'd that happen?
Shout out to Evan Silva of Established a Run. He bet it 150-1 before the season. Aleem McNeil, a monster.
He's been most underrated. Aiden Hutchinson's been as advertised.
Yes.
I think Jacksonville regrets that pick, by the way. Like, they overthought it. They're like, no, Trevon Walker, way more upside. You're like, Aiden Hutchinson's pretty good.
I just think, what's his name? The GM for the this is Jags GM. Jeez.
It's not Caldwell. God, that was the old one. The guy from San Francisco. What can't think of his name?
He would never draft Jim Harbaugh's guy.
That's true.
Yeah.
I'm at a little falling out there. Okay, Giants, Cowboys.
Giants need a lot more.
I kind of feel like
Trent Baalke. Jeez, Louise, what's wrong with me?
Trent Baalke, there you go. Dallas Cowboys, I feel like needed more because as well as they're playing right now, they could maybe make a run for the number one overall seed.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I actually would make the case that it's a huge divisional game for that, the context of that. But also, I don't think you can afford to go much less than, I don't know. I mean, 13-4. If you want to like for sure say we're going to have that number one overall seed because Philly's schedule is weak the rest of the way.
Yeah. Philly is a very easy schedule the whole season. I'm fine with that. I think the Giants need it more in the sense that like a loss here and you start to see the playoff hope slip away. But if they don't make the playoffs, it's not the end of the world.
No, it's Brian Daboll's first year. They've already had a great story so far. And by the way, even if they lose this one, I don't know. I think you're still in the hunt for the wild card. Like, Washington's gonna be another team about. Who else are you concerned about? The Packers are 4-7.
Yeah.
Maybe if you lose a string of games from here, but I don't know. I think this is one that it's not they need to win. I think Dallas might need to win this one in order to have any shot at the number one overall seed.
Yeah, I think that's a good argument. I like that. I'm just really quickly. So they're at the Giants did just get rolled by the Lions, which is not a great look. At the Cowboys, Commanders, Eagles, at Commanders, at Vikings, Colts, at Eagles. That's the only thing is like, is 9 wins going to definitely get you in the playoffs in the NFC?
I think in the NFC, depending on who those wins are against, right? You got to win the right 9 games. And so divisional games, those are being paramount, but really just versus Washington. That's going to be the first thing.
Yeah, that's right. If you sweep Washington, you're in the playoffs if you're the Giants.
Right. Yeah. I mean, at this point, the way that the NFC playoff picture looks, like you would be definitively in.
Well, given that, then I think your case is correct that the Cowboys need it more. And by the way, I don't know if you heard, but Odell Beckham is a free agent. And is it a case that this is the Odell Beckham Bowl? Whoever wins this game gets to sign it.
You can make the case that the Giants need him more.
The Giants need him more, yes.
Right. Especially Wandale Robinson just tears his ACL, right? Awful. Yeah. Such a good player.
Yeah. Trader Kadarius Turner.
Trader Kadarius Turner, Sterling Shepard's hurt. Like, there's, Galladay asked him what they thought.
Kenny Galladay's wandering around the hallways of MetLife Stadium, haunting people. Like,
so, by the way, like, Odell would love to be back in New York, I'm sure. I bet he looks back on that and was like, what was I doing? Like, yep. I wish I could have made that work for the long term. All right, Minnesota, New England.
This is the hard one.
I think it's
maybe New Minnesota. England. Oh, where?
No, I think it's New England. Like, you look at the AFC East, you can't afford to drop many games. And the AFC wildcard picture is way crazier. So I think you can't afford to drop many games. And this is not one that you're picked to win, but it's a lot lower of a number than I thought it would be as far as what Minnesota is giving right now.
The Vikings have a much, much easier schedule coming. I mean, they have the Lions left. They have the Jets, which we all know is not a freebie, at the Lions, Colts at home, Giants at home, at the Packers, at the Bears. Yeah, you're right. It's the Patriots.
It's the Patriots.
I do feel like if like Kirk Cousins, looks really bad and Belichick pressures him a ton, that there's going to be a little increasing buzz like, yeah, maybe this is a little bit of a fraudulent team with the wins and the can't play anybody that provides any pressure whatsoever. But yes, in terms of the Patriots, yeah, the Vikings are in the playoffs. Like that's a done deal.
Right. Well, two more wins and you say definitively, yeah. But you'd have to think that they are in purely because of their record within the division, right? I mean,
they're four games up on Detroit in the division. Like that would be an
epic. I mean, they've got a seal versus Green Bay in week 17, but outside of that, I mean,
yeah,
it's pretty much a done deal.
Yeah, I mean, they're gonna make the playoffs. So yeah, but I do think there would be chatter about Kirk Cousins if he stinks against a defense that provides pressure. However, to your point, yes, New England, man, it would go a lot. Like, not that anybody's questioning Bill Belichick's bona fides, but the Tom Brady, Bill Belichick stuff has gotten it's tampered down now that Tom Brady's 5-5.
Right.
If the Bucs were undefeated and rolling, like it's been present, you know, with Brady's success and Belichick's lack of success. So, making the playoffs and making sort of a playoff run would be a big deal for Belichick. And you know, you have teams like the Jets and the Chargers and the Colts at least lingering there that could.
You can make the case too for either quarterback. It's huge in the context of like for the Vikings to finally get a top the NFC North and for Kirk Cousins, but also for Mac Jones, like to him try to solidify himself as a starter in New England as the guy. I mean, like we forget a few weeks ago, they were rooting for Bailey Zappi to come in there and be the guy.
Remember that? It feels like a million years ago.
Let's just bring this thing full circle. Back to the Jets quickly. Jimmy Garoppolo is a free agent after the season. I know this has been thrown out there, but makes a ton of sense, right? Like if you're done with Zach Wilson, that's who you sign, bring in. He knows the system because of LaFleur there as their OC. They're basically the San Francisco 49ers of the East Coast. If you look at their construct, right? And that's how I see it when I break it down.
I mean, they have a LaFleur. They have a former DC. Yeah, absolutely. They run
the same and you look at their defense, the way they play, how they're constructed.
Yeah.
And the fact they can run. Once their O-line's back healthy, they're going to run the crap out of the football. Yep.
And you kind of look at that and you go. Forget it. Brees Hall was running the ball really well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're trying to build what San Francisco is on the East Coast.
But that's probably the one thing where if you look at it and go, all right, how does this benching make sense? Because in reality, you got to see what you have in Zach Wilson. But even if they stunk, let's say they lost out, right? So they finished the season 6-11. It would actually be better for them so they have a higher draft position. Right now, they draft 18th, I believe, in next year's draft, which you're not replacing with a quarterback at that point and probably not as much of an impactful player.
Right. That is correct. I was going to look at Tankathon. I'm trying to remember. So,
good spot.
Yeah, you cut out for a brief second there.
Sorry.
So it's probably the terrible Ohio internet. You know, Ohio renowned for its terrible internet.
Is that true?
No, not at all.
It's more known for people hopping the fence and stealing a golf cart and turfing the field there. First Energy, apparently, it's known for that.
Is it really? Is it? Did you do
that? Yeah, it just happened this past week. So.
Oh, really? Oh.
No. See, you're not even up on the date and all the news, and that's what's happening in the Brown Stadium. Jimmy Haslam. Is conspiracy theory. He's trying to pay a guy to go hop the fence in First Energy, turf the field and go, hey, see, this is why we don't pay for grass fields anymore. We're going to turf this thing to save money and run more concerts and whatnot here.
Do you think it was, that is a great conspiracy theory. Do you think it was, it might have been Ryan Wilson. Ryan Wilson is big on this grass turf thing.
Well, what does he want? Turf? Because if you're buying into grass. Well, I would want grass too, but what stands in the way of it is if you are buying into my theory, it's that owners don't want to have to pay the extra money and maintenance. So they're going to go have your boy Butch. Butch is going to hop the fence. He's going to find those keys in the golf cart. He is just going to run that thing ragged up and down First Energy Field.
Yeah, Butch didn't even have to hop the fence. If the fence wasn't unlocked and there's keys running in the golf cart.
Look what I found here.
Yeah, I buy into that. The premise of your conspiracy theory, which is that owners are like, dude, we make millions of dollars off concerts that are here, and we can't do that if it's grass. No grass. 100%. Why do you think the NFL, when everybody starts complaining about the injuries, Kevin Seifert's all of a sudden got an article on ESPN.com like, the injury studies sources provided from the NFL show that it's pretty negligible. And then like 2 days later, the NFLPA and the NFL release a joint study where it's like, that's right. It's really just the same. It's like, well, no, everyone knows it's not the same. Like everyone can tell it's not the same.
Anyway, real quick, last thing, rivalry week. I'm here in Columbus for the game, Ohio State, Michigan. To me, the best rivalry there is in college football. I don't think it's even debatable. I grew up in Columbus. I'll just say this.
What's the other? What would be the other option?
I don't know. Some people say the Iron Bowl. Some people say like USC Notre Dame because it's the, you know, transcontinental rivalry. I was like, dude, I always viewed Michigan as a bigger rivalry when I got into college, just because we were like the top two for like wins.
Yeah.
During that period of time, and because of proximity, like you got recruited by both, or you knew a lot of the guys from both.
Oh, are you doing the big new kickoff for probably
Ohio State, Michigan?
Duh, obviously. Yeah.
You know, you're putting it all together.
Yeah, that's
But you will be reminded. For example, you fly into Columbus Airport, Columbus Metropolitan Airport. They have the M X'd out on the airport.
That is so great.
Like, it's literally like you can't make it any bigger. I'll never forget my dad, Chopper Quinn, always speeds, always. Like, the dude, I don't think has ever driven less than 10, 15 miles per hour with the speed limit.
That checks out.
He literally would drive the speed limit that week if we were ever, like, when I was getting taken visits.
Because he knew that it might be, like, Michigan cops or, like –
Well, when we were up in the state of Michigan, he's like, Ohio State plates, you're driving to Michigan. He goes, you will get pulled over, you'll get a ticket with Ohio State plates this particular week. It's just a way of life. It's different. Dead serious. It's just different. And then vice versa. You see someone with Michigan plates in the state of Ohio during Ohio State Michigan week,
full body cavity search.
They're like flicking them off. It's like, get out of here with that. You know, and I don't know many other rivalries, and it's hard to explain. To people who like don't grow up in that culture where like football is everything, right? Like Massillon, Ohio, when you're born there, you're either born with a football or pom-poms. Like that's just how it is. Football is that big. And I've never seen an environment like what it's like for Ohio State, Michigan. Like there is true hatred between those two schools. So it's going to be a lot of fun this week.
I mean, and so everyone should watch Brady on the big new kickoff on Fox. So just a regular Fox, right?
Fox broadcast.
With Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart, who also finds it amusing that you send voice memos.
But he's got on board with it.
I mean, I'm on board with it now too. Like I sent you one out of like without you. Like I don't know how you
unsolicited. Yeah,
I know. Yeah, you're really.
Way more sense. It's like walkie talkies. It's fun. People need to get on that band.
You're basically like one of the disciples. You're like Jesus of the voice memos, basically.
I wouldn't go that far.
Probably not. Yeah,
I do appreciate a good voice note.
Yeah, I do love a good voice note too. All right, that'll do it for us. Everybody have a great Thanksgiving. Brady, thanks for taking the time away from your family. I'm sure they're wondering what the hell you're doing back there.
Chopper called. I think that's why I actually cut out for a second. Chopper actually called in. So yeah, hey. Where the hell are you?
Well, you tell everybody, your family, the Quinns, that happy Thanksgiving. From the Brinsons.
Same to the Brinson household.
I will pass it along. Thanks, buddy, as always. Talk to you soon.
See ya.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Hosts Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.